We're a little short on people tonight, but it's time to get started. We have Myron Bruce from Wichita Falls, Texas with us tonight. I'll let him give you a little bit more history of what he does and things and not botch it all up for him and stuff. Let's start off with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the many blessings of this day. We thank Thee for the privilege that we have to meet here tonight to worship Thee in the quiet of this building. We ask Thee as the speaker tonight, give him a recollection of things that he has studied and may present them to us. Be with those that are sick of this congregation as only Thou can. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
And just drop this in my pocket. Is that, can you hear me there? There it goes. Let me see if I can figure out where this might attach best. We'll see if that holds on. It is an honor to be with you all this evening. I think the last time I was with you, I was actually leading the singing for your gospel meeting back in April. And for whatever reason, Billy asked me to come and speak. So I don't know exactly what he was thinking. Because usually you leave the preaching up to the professionals. But I'm honored that he asked me to come and to be with you. And I did think it was kind of precarious that he happened to leave town whenever I came in. He doesn't do that all the time, does he? Where he hits the road when a preacher comes in. So no, I know that he's speaking in Clinton tonight, and I know he will bless that congregation with what he has to say. So it is indeed good to be with you. My name is Myron Bruce. I work at Freed Hardeman University. And Freed Hardeman is a Christian school that is in Tennessee. It's in Henderson, Tennessee, which is about an hour and a little bit from Memphis, right off of I-40. It's a school that was started back almost 150 years ago. It was what they call a teacher's college back in those days. And it morphed and had, obviously, of course, any of the schools back in that day were going to be Christian-based. But it was... It really began focusing more on a Christian school and focusing on Christian education in the early 1900s. And then it became Freed Hardeman, named after A.G. Freed, who was a preacher in the Brotherhood, a big-time preacher in the Brotherhood, and N.B. Hardeman, which you may be more familiar with, where those two men together worked as president and assistant president or vice president. N.B. Hardeman was a teacher and came up through the ranks, but anyway, the board chose, I think it was in 1919, to name the school after those men, and it became Freed Hardeman University, or college at the time, and as university. So, but that's my work, but I'm not a recruiter. I don't recruit students. I mean, I will, because I believe in the school. That's where my wife and I sent our three of our kids. But I'm the advancement director. I'm the director of advancement for the region of Texas and Oklahoma, which means I'm in charge and responsible for alumni and coordinating with them for fundraising and for developing funds from donors and prospective donors. So if you see me coming to shake your hand, it doesn't mean I'm looking for money. It just means I'm coming to introduce myself. If you want to give some money to the school, I'll help you with that too. But no, I'm thankful to work for the school. But we live in Texas. I was raised in Dumas, Texas, just across the border over there in the Texas Panhandle, and grew up on a farm outside of Dumas. Went to school at Lubbock Christian, and that's where I met my wife, and she and I have our three children. She's still back home. The kids are all out of the house. They're in college or graduated from college. But anyway, that's not why I'm here to tell you about myself. I'm here tonight because Billy asked me to share with you some thoughts based on Romans chapter 12, verse 12. And if my understanding is correct, you've been looking at this passage throughout the summer, but not just this verse. You've been looking at verses previously and verses still to come. But the words that he gave me to focus on was rejoicing in hope. And that's how that passage begins. Rejoice in hope. And actually, Paul takes in this chapter, and he lists out a whole litany of things. I'll read it through you. I know you've already seen it, but just so you can get the idea of what Paul's doing here as he's talking to the church in Rome. He comes through and he says, I'll pick up in verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing constantly in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to the hospitality. And he goes on and on as he's going through this, admonishing the church in Rome. But we're looking at verse 12, and we're grabbing three simple words: rejoice and hope. And so what I want us to do tonight is I want us to look at this, but I want us to look at it in perhaps a way that will be a first time for you, but also in a way that will hopefully encourage you. Because quite honestly, on a Wednesday night, and I don't mean this disparaging to anybody that's not here, but this is the cream of the crop. You folks are saying, this is where I'm going to be on Wednesday night. Whether it's because this is what I've always done, and this is my tradition, and this is where we go, or whether you say, this is a priority for me. I will be here with the saints tonight. And you know that Billy would be too if he wasn't working for the Clinton and working with that congregation there. But this is what we do. This is what we do. So when we talk about rejoicing and hope, what are we talking about? What does that mean? I want us to take first and look at the word hope, because I think we understand rejoicing. If I were to say, what does rejoice mean? Well, it means to be joyful. It means to be excited, to be happy. I see rejoicing anytime I turn on a baseball game or a football game. One side is rejoicing. The other side might not be. But we understand that means to be happy. That's a good thing. So I understand be happy in hope. Well, what's hope? Because quite frankly, folks, hope can mean a couple of different things. Hope could be, and I'm just going to give you the definition, hopefully you can read that, to want something to happen. Or to want something to be true. And you know what that means. I hope this happens. I hope I get that promotion. I hope we get rain. I hope this will work. That's hope. But there's another definition that I think we need to focus on when it comes to our relationship with God. And this is the hope. Not this hope. But this is the hope we need to teach our children. This is the hope we need to pass on to our grandchildren. A desire accompanied by expectation or belief in success. It's not just, I hope this is going to happen, but it's when you look at a young person and you say they were young and full of hope, optimism, excitement, they can do this. And you've been there before. Maybe you still are. But hope that is not just a wish. Hope that is an expectation. Well, do we have that? Can we have that? Can we have that hope that is more than just a wish, but it's a positive expectation? And it's saying, I know that this will happen. And you sing this all the time. When you come together here, you sing this. We're going to actually look at, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I went ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We're going to look at a hymn. And there's actually several of them. We could look at the song, I don't know if y'all sing it here, it's a newer one called In Christ Alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. Is that a familiar one for you all? But that's a song that says, in Christ is where I have my hope. Or how about this one? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Our kids have sung that for years. We've sung that for years. If you're in your 50s, that was a teen song. That was a youth song. But the chorus ends with, or the end of that, actually is coming from Lamentations. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, how does that finish off? Therefore, I will hope in him. I hope a hope, or I expect. I anticipate. I believe. Lamentations was speaking towards. Or how about this one? Soft as the voice of an angel, breathing a lesson unheard. Do you remember that song? What's the chorus? Whispering home, oh how welcome thy voice. We know when we sing about hope. But I want us tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to take a song that you know very well. Actually, if you want to take your songbooks and follow with me, it's 538, I believe. I turned the page on it, so let me see if I can find it. 538, yeah. Where is your hope? Not your I wish hope, but where is your hope that I expect, I know, I have a positive affirmation? Where is your hope founded? When we sing this song, we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than what? The blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. I want you to follow with me. Now, if you have your Bibles tonight, you're going to want to kind of follow through that. Because we'll have the songbook in front of us, but don't worry. We're also going to sing it up there in just a little bit. But I need you to have your text, because your text is going to be able to point you through some things. First of all, let's take and look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. This is still the book of Romans, where Paul is still writing to the church in Rome. But I want you to hear what he says, because this is important for us to grab the understanding of hope, the God's definition of hope. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, verse 2. By whom also we have access by grace, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand, in where we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, now stay with me, because this is important here. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Sounds a little bit like what James said. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. Paul's saying the same thing. In tribulations, knowing that your tribulations are going to do what? It's going to bring about patience. I can do this. It's tough times, but my hope in Jesus Christ helps me get through those tribulations, and that gives me patience. Verse 4, and patience, experience, or some version says perseverance. And experience, hope. But look what he says in verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed. Am I reading out of New King James? King James. The version that I was going to read to you, and I left my Bible in my car. I ran out there to change my shirt but not get my Bible. What do you think about that? But the New American that I read from says, and hope does not disappoint. The hope that says, man, I hope I get that promotion, I could be disappointed by that. I might not get that promotion. I hope it rains. It may not rain. It may not rain for several weeks. I could be disappointed with that, but not the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. But folks, we come back saying my hope is built on nothing but Jesus Christ. I don't hope in anything else. His blood and his righteousness. It's because of his sacrifice that we have hope. It's because of the blood that he shed on the cross that we have hope. Hope in what? Hope in eternal salvation. That's what he came to give us. But you see, what happens too much is the world says, I can do this by myself. Thank you very much. And we live in a country, and we've got folks, and you may be of that mindset that says, I can do this because I'll pull myself up by my bootstraps. I can get this done. And sometimes, folks, we have to do that. We have to grit down and get her done. But we cannot get her done on our own when it comes to our salvation. We have to hope in Jesus Christ. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. What is the sweetest frame? If you've got your Bibles open still with me, turn, if you would, to Psalm 103. And I know I'm taking you back to the Old Testament, but I want you to hear a statement that comes from the psalmist. Psalm 103, this is one of David's psalms. He's talking about the blessings of having a relationship with God. Verse 13, like a father takes care of his children, so the Lord takes care of them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He knows us. He knows us. He wove us when we were still in our mother's womb. You know that passage as well. But I cannot lean on that frame. I cannot trust in this. But I have to wholly trust in Jesus' name. The word holy is interesting, because holy doesn't mean righteous in this word. This is holy, which means everything. Now, it's easy for us to say that. It's easy for us to say, I wholly believe in Jesus Christ. But what if it gets tough? What if life gets hard? What if there's times when you feel abandoned, i.e. you feel like a Job, and you've lost your family, you've lost your livelihood, you've lost everything, your health? Where do I stand now? Where do I turn? Where's my hope? Job didn't waver. Well, he did waver because he said, God, where are you? But he never left God. He held on to the hope that comes from Christ. I think the Proverbs is probably the strongest one when I consider this. And you'll remember this one. From Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on what? On yourself. Don't lean on, I can do this. But in all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. We say that, we memorize that, it's on cards we put on our mirrors and we teach it to our kids, but do we really understand what that means? That I'm not going anywhere without my God. That means the decisions I make, the actions that I take, the words that I speak, all of those are trusting in God. And I lean on him, not on myself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So we finish that one verse, and we could say my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Nothing else except for Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And I don't trust in myself, but I trust wholly in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything is in him. So when do you hope? Do you hope when things are good? Life's nice. I can hope in, that's easy to do. I understand how things are going but what about when the storms come? What about when the storms of life hit you? When darkness veils his lovely face? Now you need to understand something. This is not saying that God is hiding his face from us. This is saying that darkness is getting between me and God. Can that happen? Obviously it can. Obviously we can have times when we get so busy and when things press upon us so much that we lose sight of what's important and his face is veiled. Because remember, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the forces of darkness. The devil wants to get between you and God, period, end of sentence. And it's going to happen. There's going to be times when you waver, but he will not. He's unchanging. He will not let you down. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. I know that he's not going to go anywhere. And I love the words on this one. In every high and stormy gale. Now folks, we've sung these forever. But what are they saying? In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. What in the world does that mean? I understand an anchor keeps me locked in, but what's a high and a stormy gale? What does it mean within the veil? Is it just to rhyme with, I rest on when darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace? Is veil just there to rhyme with gale? Extreme or high is another word for extreme. And a gale is another word for a storm. So in every extreme storm, and we're not just talking about a rain shower. We're talking about when the skies turn dark and the clouds begin to swirl, and you feel the vacuum and the there's a storm coming. And I'm getting goosebumps even thinking about it because I grew up in Dumas and I understand the feeling. And you do too, because you've been there. And you see the funnel begin to form. That is an extreme storm. Physically. Don't think it won't happen to you spiritually. The devil would like for you to think that you're okay. Just put in cruise and that just ride past that storm. No, the storms are going to come. Where will your hope be? My anchor holds me within the veil. Turn to Romans chapter... I got to look at that. See, I told you I'm not a strong preacher. A preacher just told you the passage already. Go to Romans chapter... Nope, Hebrews, see? Hebrews chapter 6. That was called the bait and switch. I told you Romans, but I meant Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6 is where I want you to see the veil. I'm sorry, the anchor. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I'll pull us back to verse 17, get a little bit of the context. Wherein God willingly, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immunity of his counsel, confirmed it by his oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil. Steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. We have an anchor that keeps the soul. When we understand where that anchor is founded, ladies and gentlemen, it changes everything. What is the veil? It's not a valley. It is a curtain. It's a veil. And I want to show you where this comes from. There's our Hebrews chapter 6. I guess if I advanced, I would have seen Hebrews instead of Romans. But we understand that the anchor is in the veil. And the veil actually is getting its reference from Exodus. Exodus chapter 26, verse 33 says this. The veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the holy of holy place. Do you remember what that separation was for? Why was that curtain between those two places? Because some of you, some of us don't go in there. That's only for the high priest. And you can't go into the Holy of Holies. That's where God is. But what happened when Jesus died? When Jesus screamed down the cross, "It is finished," the veil of the curtain did what? It tore in two from the top to the bottom. And now there's an anchor that's within the veil where God is. That secures us. We have hope. And it's not just I hope. This is hope that is steadfast. This is hope that we can anticipate and expect our salvation. So in whom do we hope? We talked about my hope is built on nothing less than that first verse. But our hope is in Jesus Christ. But notice what happens in this third verse. In his oath, in his covenant, and in his blood. That's where my hope is. In his oath, his promise, his covenant, his commitment, and in his blood that he shed on the cross for you and I. Why do I hope in those things? Because they will support me in the whelming flood. Because remember the storm that's coming? A lot of our songs that we sing have a lot of maritime references. And maritime is simply the ocean. That's why you read about the storms. Or sometimes you'll hear about the... do you remember the song? Only in thee, dear Savior mine, dwelleth my soul. Do you remember that song? In peace divine. There's one version that says, guiding my pilgrim bark aright. That's not a bark on a tree. A bark is a boat, a vessel. And we sing, we read about storms on the sea and storms of life. That's the maritime idea. And the same is happening right here within this. Because the whelming flood is the wave that's about to overcome. It's burying me. And it's the storms that we get. But we will make it through because of the oath of Jesus Christ. Because of the covenant we have with him when we enter into baptism with him. And because of his blood. That's what gives us our hope. That's what gives us the assurance to make it through the whelming floods. And when everything else fails... When all around my soul gives way, everything else is giving up, that's where I find my hope and my stay. But I want you to think about this for a second, because we've sung this forever. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope, assurance, and stay. You know, my first thought when I think of stay, you know what that is? It's my dog. Stay. And I teach him to do what? Wait. And he sits patiently and waits. Stay. 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 Okay, come on. That's the idea that we have to. We have a tendency to say when we say stay, but that's not what happens here. It's not a matter of waiting. It's not a matter of, okay, this is, he's my hope and my wait. It could mean that, but I think it's so much deeper than this. Folks, I think this is so much more than what we've sung for years. Because you see, the stay is actually another maritime reference to the cords and the cables that hold the mast up. You think about the boat, and you can't see that because that's probably a little bit further away than you'd see. But each of those masts on this vessel are supported by top gallant stay, mizzen stay, lower main top gantlet, top mast stay, main stay, fore stay, inner fore topmost stay. Those are all the ropes, the cords that keep the mast up so that the sails can catch the wind. Without the stays, the wind gets strong and it pushes the mast, it pushes the boat and breaks the mast. We have to have the stay. Jesus is our stay. Jesus is the one that supports us. He's the one that keeps us upright and keeps us going, even in the storms. He then is all my hope and my stay. Who will your stay be? Who will be your support when it gets difficult? And when times, the storms are coming, and you know they will. You know that they will. David said in Psalm chapter 62, my hope is in Him. God is my hope. And that stay is more than just a command. It's a promise. It's a promise to the covenant. So I guess as we're thinking this through, I'd have to say, well, why do I have hope? Why can't I just pull myself up by my bootstraps? Why do I have to have this feeling of somebody else can take care of this? Because I can tell you right now, the world would say, really? The fairy tale God you're going to follow? That's where you're going to go? Yes, but it's not a fairy tale. He is my God. And I have faith. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't have faith, we'll never have the hope. And if we don't have the hope that's founded in our faith on Jesus' blood and His righteousness, then we're going to be tossed on the sea. When the storms come, we will sink. We will sink. So why do we have hope? Quite honestly, I think we have hope because we know that He will come back again. We have assurance that this life is not over. When your life is over, and when the Lord calls you home, it's not over. We don't see anything more because all we know is what we have right now. And we've seen moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and great grandmas. We've seen them all come and go. But we don't know what's next. God does. And I hope in that. I have assurance in that. And I have faith in that. He will come back. And this song says He will come with a trumpet sound. That's scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, if you want to turn there, you can follow with me on that real quick. And there's another reference in Colossians as well. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is where I want to take you though. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. He's coming back. And those who are in Christ, who have died, will get to rise first. And then those who, as the scripture says, who are left will rise and meet Him in the sky. But take a look at that word. The words of the song says, oh, may I then in Him be found. I think sometimes we look at terminologies and we say, well, found means it was lost and now it's found. Oh, you're in Christ. Good, I found you there. I think it's more than that. If we look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, we see that that's talking more about being equipped in Christ. And that's what found means, to be equipped. If you're found, you're equipped. And that's just another definition of found. But that's where we find in our scripture, in our book, in God's word, that we can be equipped in Christ. We can be found in him. And then the song finishes and ends with this. I want to be dressed in his righteousness alone. Not in my garb, not in what my suits, not in what I can dress up in, but in his righteousness alone. And to be able to stand faultless before his throne. You know, I said at the beginning, and I'll say it again. Cream of the crop. I'm not telling you something you don't already know. You've read this. You've studied this. You're familiar with this. You've sung these songs. You're familiar with these. You know them. But ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we have to step back and say, what exactly are we saying? What exactly are we singing? What does that mean? And when we start to peel things back and start to realize from Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, that we will stand before the throne of God. And when we understand and come to realize from Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, that the redeemed will be there. That's who we are. That's the hope we have. That's the promise we have based on his covenant, based on his blood. And then we conclude and we end this song with the chorus. I want to make sure we give credit to the authors, but take a look at the date of this when the song was written. The song we've sung forever is over 100 and, goodness, it's pushing close to 150 years old that this song has stood the test of time. But take a look at the chorus. We rejoice in hope. That's what this song is saying all the way through. We stand on Christ, the solid rock. And we can find that reference from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. But look at the chorus. On Christ, the solid rock is where I stand. Why? Why do I do that? Because everything else is quicksand. Everything else will bury me. If I'm not on Christ, if I think I'm okay doing it by myself, if I think I can do this because this is what I've always done, and it's never failed me so far, it will eventually give out on you, and you will lose your footing. Christ will not. You can have the solid rock because Christ is where we stand. So as we've looked through this song, and hopefully you consider things like the word stay in a different light. Maybe you've considered the word found in a different phrase. Maybe you've looked at the idea of the trumpet and the fact that he will come back, and I want to be ready for that. Because he's the rock. He's where we put our hope. I'm going to ask you, is there somebody up there that can advance those, or is it up to me? I'm not very good at advancing. Can you push the advance clicker? Would you mind doing that for me? Just as soon as I try to do it, I'll mess it up. So no pressure. You know which one to push, don't you?
No.
Okay, that one right there, we'll advance it. Let's see. I'll let you practice. Let's see. There it is. You got it. Perfect. Okay, go ahead and go back one. Oh, I got to tell you when to go back. There you go. My hope is built on nothing less, nothing else, except for Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Let's sing together. You can go back to the beginning. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood support me. When all around own, my soul gives away. Then is all my hope and stay. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground is. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, who may I then? Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ's solid rock I stand, all other ground. All other ground is sinking sand. As we consider and we think about, thank you, sir, the fact that we will face tomorrow. If the Lord allows the sun to rise, we're going to face another day. We have to consider who we will face that day with. And I'm not talking about with our spouse, or with our church family, or with our work family, or with our environment that we have in outside of the kingdom. Who will you face tomorrow with? It's got to be with your God. It's got to be taking each step of the day, each step of the way, we could sing that song too, with him. Because ladies and gentlemen, without him, we've got nothing. We cannot do this by ourselves. But here's the beauty of it. It's not just you and this congregation and you and your God. It's you and this congregation and your God and the kingdom that he's given to us. That's why Brother Billy can go over to Clinton and speak, because that's family. That's why I can come up from Wichita Falls and speak, because I'm part of your family. Now, do you know me? No, I'm kind of like the uncle that you don't see very often. But we're family. Thanks be to God, and because of the relationship that we share with him. I pray that you all will always hold fast to the hope that you have. Not thy hope, I hope, I hope, but the fact that we have blessed assurance and confidence because of his oath, because of his covenant, because of his blood. Let's bow and go to our Father in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. I pray that you will bless us tonight as we conclude this evening, this fellowship time together and this worship time, that it will be a blessing and an honor to you and a glory to your name, and Father, an encouragement to each of us. Would you please bless this congregation and Sayer? Hold them up, give them strength. And Father, may they always honor you and stand in hope for eternal life in heaven with you. It's my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Which one are we using?